I want to challenge you just to guard yourself and to be ready, because whether or not you want it to come, tomorrow's coming. Monday's coming. And it's not just about the school week, but it's about what God is trying to do in your life. The walk does not stop. You may want to stop, but the walk does not stop. And so we talk about freedom a lot here because we believe that freedom is essential to your life as a Christian. If you're not walking to freedom, you've got to ask yourself why. And I would say for a lot of people, it's more comfortable for them to stay in dysfunction because of the work that takes to get out. Because dysfunction's easy. It's easy to hide in shame rather than do the work to get out. And we live in a time where people want quick fixes and they want magic pills and they want a potion and they want to just be able to get out of their mess. But the reality of it is this, is that your mess probably was not just created yesterday, that you've been in process. But God is trying to work you out of that mess. And the only way that you get worked out of that mess is to put your hand in Jesus' hand and start to walk again. This is what Christianity is about. It's about walking. It's not just about talking. Man, we've got a lot of big talkers in church. Not a lot of people walking. It's different when you walk, because when you walk, you stumble. When you walk, you fail. When you walk, sometimes you suffer. Sometimes you have to push tears away from your eyes. Sometimes you have to have a moment with the Lord where you get it all out because of the warfare that you're in, because you're walking. And anytime you start walking with Jesus, there's an attack immediately that comes against you. Because we said this several weeks ago, that when you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to all his enemies. And so the enemy is throwing everything at you, whether you realize it or not, daily to try to get you to stop. But if you'll just begin to guard yourself and stand strong and to know who you are, I promise God will come through for you. God is looking for people, number one, who are going to worship in spirit and in truth, but who are going to take some steps in the hard times, who are just going to keep walking in the hard times and not just quit and give up. There are times in your life where you come up against some walls, everybody does, but God wants you to go through the walls. You don't make progress without coming up against some stuff and hitting some stuff in order for some stuff to fall down. You can worship one time, but one-time worship doesn't work all the time. It means that you got to be in a constant state of worship. If God has dropped something in your heart, keep singing it. We've got to learn to push past the pain, because if we don't, we'll stay stuck, maimed from stuff in our life that God has not called us to stay stuck in, and keep moving forward. That's one of the reasons why I got up and wore this shirt today, because it was a reminder of us to keep moving forward no matter what's happening in your life, no matter what you think you're not getting. It's to get up, know who you are, and keep doing it anyway, because as you do it, you're learning and you're training yourself that it's the Spirit of God who leads me, not how I feel about it. People want to get better, but it's easy to get bitter. It's hard to get better. Because people talk about change, but actually trying to change and wanting to change is different, because that means I have to do something different than what I've been doing. And one of the things that God has been doing and reminding people of is, I'm not going to let you go back to that old type of thinking anymore. I'm going to transform you so that you keep pushing forward anytime you come up against that wall in your life. And you know what I'm talking about. The walls that come up against you every time that try to stop you, God said, it's time for you to push up against it and go past it. That means regardless of how you feel about it. Because there are things in your life that are happening right now that are coming against your emotional state, that are messing with you to try to get you to think that it'll never change. But if you'll walk with the Spirit of God and come against it, I promise you, things will begin to change in your life if you do it anyway when you don't feel like doing it. That's just how Christianity works. Because I walk by faith, I don't see it, I'm not doing it. Well, you're never going to progress. Well, okay, I don't see it, but I'm going to do it. Because even when I don't see it, I know you're working. Even when I don't feel it, there's something going on because I could sense it. The Spirit of God, I woke up today just with I got you. Keep walking. So the body needs that type of power if they're going to move in all that God has called them to move into, because the warfare, it's tight. It's tight. It gets tight. It's heavy. You're going to need God's power to help push you past that so you can walk in freedom. Even the times you can't articulate what you're going through, God still wants you to walk into it, even though you might not understand it, because he'll give you the grace to deal with it. I don't understand what's going on right now. You don't have to understand what's going on right now. All you have to understand and know is who's with you. That's it. So if I know who's with me, what can come against me? What issue? What complication? Because if I know God's with me, that can't stand up against me, and the weapon that's formed won't prosper. It won't. It'll try, but it won't prosper. You know when it does prosper is that when you've opened the door up to things in your life that you have not submitted. It begins to prosper when you're not submitted. So you can resist all you want, but if you're not submitted, all of a sudden the enemy brings some things into your life that might tempt you for you to walk into, especially if you're in a hard season and things begin to look real easy or they look better on the other side. It's easier to go back and say, this is not worth it. I'd rather have it easy. But since when do easy and Christianity ever go together? They don't. There are three things I want to talk to you about today. And this is quote unquote, we want to call it Back to School Sunday. And it's primarily geared toward kids, but you're going to get some stuff out of it, I promise you. Proverbs 22:6, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. It doesn't mean they won't try in between. There are things probably you can look back in your own life and say to yourself, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would not be here today. Because my teens were not good. I can remember looking back at my life, knew that God had a call on my life, but didn't understand what that call was, and spent a lot of my teens drifting and compromised because I felt like I knew what was better. And I really honestly did not want to submit because I felt like I knew what was better for me. And I didn't frankly see the value of being in a relationship with Jesus. I didn't see it. We moved down from New York, and from jump 2 years in, we had problems. So you're asking me as a 10-year-old, the oldest of the family, who, by the way, was last to give their heart over to Jesus, to say yes to a God who brought us down here, quotes, in order for us to lose what we had, file bankruptcy, move into an apartment with seven of us, and say, Jesus is good, driving two cars, one named Frank, who was orange, and one was gray, named Betsy. They knew we were coming down the road because you could hear us. We had one of those car station wagons in the back. It was a gray station wagon where the seat faced out. So you're asking me to trust Jesus in this time of where we had stuff and now we don't. So what do you do where life is good, but then it doesn't turn out the way you want it to turn out at a young age? We're not talking about 25 it went bad. We're talking about at 10, 11 it went bad. Now you're asking me to follow Jesus, who frankly I don't want to have anything to do with. I'm just being honest. So you wonder why. Why is there such a fight over this generation? Because if the enemy can get in young and can start to mess with their mind on the goodness of God, it will be very difficult for them to turn to God in times of trouble because of what they saw happen in formative years. And everyone has a story, and most of you know my story, abused at a young age and then having to work through that later on in life, trying to reconcile the fact of God being good, but not really seeing God come through, in my opinion. So you're not talking to someone who doesn't understand doubt. You're not talking to someone who doesn't understand fear. You're not talking to someone who doesn't understand life. You're not talking to someone who doesn't understand the frailty of life and relationships, who doesn't quite know what financial lack is, who doesn't really know what poverty. You're not talking with someone who doesn't know stuff. I know things. And so God has done a work in my life to transform me, to trust him in the process, that has not been easy to do that. Because at a young age, the seed was planted, God does not come through. So that cycle and that thought process has had to been unraveled in order for God to show me that he does come through because he's a good father. But because my foundation is now being built on him, there's a trust level that I have with him that I have not had before. So when you come up against stuff in your life, you are coming up against some stuff that has been deposited years before today. So you can look back over your life and see that there was some stuff that was done to you or that happened that still affect you and the way you think today. I don't care who you are. You can try to speak into it. You can try to worship over it. But there's still stuff that is stuck in you. It's stuck there. And you come up against it every once in a while when you feel like breakthrough is on the horizon. Guess what comes up with you? That thing comes right back up and says, okay. Even when I don't feel it, you're working or see it. Well, I didn't feel it or see it then. And so that comes up with me when I feel and I'm trying to trust you to see that there's breakthrough. And that's where the fight is. Will there be breakthrough? Am I going to get up today and believe that you're good? I don't know. I may just flick you off and keep moving on. I don't know. Let's just be honest. It's not fun all the time to be in a relationship with Jesus. And that's just an emotional, healthy perspective. You can come to church. You can get the whole book of Leviticus on tape. God, why would you want to? And then you can look at all that stuff and you can still leave frustrated, wondering where God is. One of the essential things, and if I look back over my life, that was difficult for me to do was to voice what I was going through. Because you can't quite grasp it until you get older and you begin to see, oh, that's what I was feeling, but I really couldn't say it. There are things that I could not say because I felt bad about what I was going through. Because I felt bad because I didn't want to put any extra pressure on the situation. And so, but by not saying something, I locked myself into a place of where I had to deal with it on my own with the help of some friends who I had some outlets with, but at the same time also acted out in certain ways that I probably shouldn't have acted out in because there was no line of communication that I felt like I could have had. So if there was no line of communication and now there's no trust, now we have a big problem. I don't trust you, and I sure don't want to talk to you about what's going on. And so in that, what happens is there's a turning to anything that's pleasure related. I just want to feel good about my life because my life sucks right now. And so you look at your life and you look at everything you kind of, and everyone's, you know, praising Jesus and things are happening, but here come the sorrows. God was using, I'm not saying God wasn't using us. I'm not saying God wasn't growing us up and God wasn't maturing us. He was, and God was doing a deeper work. But however, it doesn't mean that I was coming along with the process. I'm not really sold on you, Lord. And it wasn't until I was in the dorm in the University of South Florida, freshman year, where I felt like the Lord still there. Say, it's time to go back and do what I called you to do. Through all those years of pretending like he wasn't there, he never left. Never. I'm going somewhere. First thing is this. In dealing with your kids, number one, let them have a say. Give them a say. Here's why. It helps with their emotional health and gives them an opportunity to be free. If you can't get your kids to talk, there's going to be problems. Because what's going to happen is inevitably they're going to act out in a way that is counter to where you're trying to raise them because you don't really have them. Well, let's just say this. You don't really have their heart. If you're pushed out, and especially in younger families or larger families, as you keep bearing fruit, parents, got to give the kids a say, even if you don't like what they say. Every once in a while, we'll just ask the kids, how's it going? What's happening? And I appreciate Misty more now than ever, but we have this rule in our house that we give our kids, we endorse free speech. So that means our kids can talk about anything. Because we feel like that's important for us to do that because it fosters communication and honesty, and we don't want our kids leaving and going out of the world. What is a condom? We're going to be so Jesus-minded, we got to shelter them. We can't help not realizing that they already know stuff and they're already seeing stuff. We got to be able to talk to kids and allow the kids to talk about certain things. There are things we talk about in our family we never talked about in mine. But God has broken that chain. And what it's done, release chains in me. Because the stuff that I always wanted to say, I just say. She knows. We just talk about some of the stuff I probably shouldn't even say. But it's brought us to another level of freedom where now our kids can walk knowing that they can tell mom and dad anything because they're not going to be shocked. There's no shock value. Parents, there's a problem when there's shock value. When you're so Christian that you can't understand what they're saying. Hey, mom, I'm really sexually attracted to that person. That's okay. Now let's talk about it. Hey, let's talk about why not smoke weed. Let's talk about some things. It has nothing to do with not being Christian. It has everything to do with we got to be free and open to talk about some stuff so that they can gain some self-confidence. Confidence. So they don't have to try it and be like, oh, God, that was awful. Just confidence. And that's what I'm talking about, confidence. I was not confident as a kid. From New York to Florida, I lost it somewhere. Lost it. But little by little, when I gave my life back to Jesus, started building it back. Building it back. Why? Because if the enemy can take you out of stuff, start messing with your head, and start formulating ideas about who God is, he's got you. And because I can look back over my life and see now the call that God had on my life and what God is getting ready to do and what God has done, why there's been such a freaking fight. So you begin to understand stuff about, and I want you to look back over your life, why there's been such a fight over your life and the stuff that God has unraveled in you. Because of some of the stuff that you may not have had the opportunity to say, God allows you to say in him. There are stuff I have said to God that if I have said to anyone else, we might have problems. But God has never shamed me or pushed me away. But has given me a line of communication that I have with him because he knows the frustration. God knows the stress. He knows the frustration. He knows the issue. That's why we can have an intimate relationship with him. And it's freeing when you can be yourself with him. And what God does, and he's so good, that when you have that relationship with him, when you understand that perfect love casts out fear, you can be cool around other people. And whether they like you or not, it really doesn't matter because you're just speaking truth. This is just what it is. And I know you want to, some people want a watered down version of Christianity and they want preachers and they want pastors to pontificate and they want them to be in some place of elevation where there's no issues. I have a mouth sometimes. So you need to have people who you can relate with and be cool with because freedom is contagious. And what happens is the enemy tries to box in freedom and give it another name. You can't do that. You can't say that because you're this. Since when does that title exclude me from being who God has called me to be? Because you have a certain mindset of what that's supposed to be. I don't walk that way. Because of what God has done in my life and God has freed me from, I can walk in freedom and not be concerned about what status quo is. Same way with you. That's the thing. But if you don't have a relationship with God where you can be free, you're going to have problems. Because you're always going to try to hide what God sees. So there are times where you and God just need to have it out. Have it out. There are times when you and your kids need to have it out because intimacy is birthed through it. Give them a say. Why? God gives you a say. It doesn't mean that his purpose won't prevail. It will. Don't worry about changing God's mind. This is what people do. Well, God, he's going to change his mind about me because I said this. God already knows you, boo. You think that affects his purpose? It doesn't. It drives you into a relationship with intimacy and freedom. And when that happens, Linda, transformation takes place. And now you think different. And so now when people try to come up and throw up religion or anything that represents bondage, it repulses you because it has nothing to do with Jesus. You don't recognize that. I don't walk in that perspective. The second thing is this. You got to let your kids play. This generation, because we have kids raising kids, we have not allowed our kids to play and discover who they are because our kids have to grow up faster than they're supposed to. Mommy and daddy can't hold it together. Guess who it falls on? Kids, parents, I implore you to get healthy emotionally and to get your relationship right with Jesus. So that you don't become codependent on your kids and that you allow your kids to grow up in the fear and admonition of the Lord and not you. Controlling your kids doesn't mean you're powerful. It shows that you're weak. You got to allow your kids to grow and develop and play. That means make messes. That means paint a bathroom that necessarily you don't like the bathroom the way it came out, but just paint it the way it's supposed to paint out and we'll fix it. We'll fix it. We fixed it. We are fixing it in process. Let them play. Let them play. They got to try out stuff with you so that when they get out in the world, they're more confident. Hey, it didn't work out. We tried it, but they're still cool. But they keep trying because they were in an environment where they can quote unquote fail or come up short, but they were still loved. And they got up. Well, that's okay. They know they're loved. My kids know they're loved. Do your kids know they're loved? Or are they waiting for the next beating? Parents don't have a grasp on who they are, and they can't deal with their own self. And because they don't have self-regulation, and they don't walk in power, love, and self-discipline, they take out their stuff on their kids, and their kids don't need it. And all of a sudden, what that does is that fosters a distance in that relationship. Where they should be growing in love, they're growing apart. You wonder why Jane is becoming a boy, because it starts at home. It's not the school's job to teach your kids about sexuality. It's your job to give them a healthy sense of identity so that when they go in school, they know what they are so that they can walk in confidence and not want to change. It starts at home. It doesn't start at school. You let them try stuff at your house. One of the things that you have to be very careful of, and I'll speak to this in this way, parents, as you're raising girls and as you're raising boys, be very careful on what they try on. You don't realize what the enemy does young. Some people think it's cute. On Instagram, social media, sometimes things will pop up, and it's a boy, oh my God, he tried on high heels today. Take those high heels off, move that boy to some sneakers, get him on the right direction, give him a He-Man, give him a whip like Indiana Jones, and let's go. Girls the same way. Dads, if you're not in a relationship with your girls and fostering love, it's going to be very easy for them to look for it in another way, in another person, and they're going to bring home Brad, who's got a tattoo around his whole body of a dragon and chains. What's up, Mr. Sarlo? That guy's dead before he even leaves my house. You better have a relationship with Jesus, okay, and a good life insurance policy, because what's going to happen is that you got to foster it. You don't want to deal with Brad later on in life. This is the time. It's in these years that are important, because once they hit teenage years, it becomes more difficult to build a foundation. You don't wait till they can cuss you out and then say, well, I think it's time to change. You do it now so that when they grow older, there's a healthy respect. There's a relationship that's still there where they can disagree, but you're still dad and you're still mom. Mia still calls me daddy at almost 16. Relationship. That's what you want, relationship. Not when you see them, there's, he repulses me. And then you have to go through years of counseling to fix it. Give them room to grow. Let them play. Let them write on their desk, even though you hate it and you found out later, probably shouldn't have done it. That's okay. I don't care about the thing. I love you. Let's change the behavior, because they'll grow out of it. We're trying to, like, we got to hold them down. They represent me. They represent me. And it's all about you at that point. You want a healthy self-image. Who cares about what people think? But what you do is you control them, because, oh, they're a representation of me. Do the best you can. They're going to fail. They're going to say things that are not right. They're going to do things you don't like. But that's part of growing up. You do the same thing. Even at your jobs. How many times in your relationship with the Lord, if you're honest, if God would have judged you based upon the number of times that it went wrong and still get it wrong, but God still loves you and you're in relationship with him, why? Perfect love casts out fear. But if there's still fear that's there, there's always that lurking thing in the back of your head that if I do it, I know God's gonna have not been made perfect in love yet. Now, I'm not talking about not having a healthy fear of God. Don't take it the wrong way. Be like, well, that means I can do anything. And then all of a sudden, God will forgive me. Don't be stupid either. I'm going to go out and sin. I'm going to go out and so, man, you know what? I'm going to test God. Don't test him. If you know what to do is right, do it right. If you know God is leading you in a certain direction, go in that direction. If you know God wants a relationship with you, come into a relationship with him. If God's asked you, hey, go deeper. I want to bring healing. Go deeper. Allow God to bring healing. So the temptation is going to be less for you to look elsewhere. Why? Why go back through hell? It's hard enough to walk the narrow road. Third thing is this, you got to help them find their way. How are you going to do that? Walk with them. This is not a relationship that's based upon convenience either. I don't feel like doing it. God, just do whatever you want. Take the car. Dad, I'm only 14. Yeah, just take the car. I don't know. I want some cookies. Just go to Winn-Dixie. Get me some cookies. I can't drive, Dad. Figure it out. That's not what we're talking about. Help them find their way. Get into a car with a 15-year-old who has their permit. Get the mind of the Lord as you're in the car together and walk them through stuff. Walk them through. I know you're a little slow there. It's okay. And have them recognize, have some self-introspection and just go walk them through the process. There'll be times where I'm just talking, not just about that, but talking about me, about certain things, just about life. Hey, Dad, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I'll just give her some perspective. Oh, yeah, it's good to see. Just dialogue. Help them find their way. God, a lot of people lately, Dad, are talking about like this, about the chip in the arm and the end times. I'm like, baby, they've been talking about for a lot of years. I'm trying to give her, be rational, have perspective. Don't jump on the bandwagon. Because people are looking for stuff stirred up. It's the end times. It's the end times. He's coming. He's coming. Don't take the chip. Guys, relax. Because people are stirred up. No firm foundation. They're looking for stuff. Because people always want to be the first. I saw this. Relax. If you got a foundation, let's talk about it. So she can see and have a right perspective about life. So she doesn't walk around an alarmist. Nobody wants to follow an alarmist. It's maddening. Jesus is not an alarmist. He will push you and convict you about stuff. Hey, watch out for this. Change this. But he's not erratic. It's like all of a sudden, God's out of control. He's not out of control. The world is, but he holds it. Who's holding the world? The problem is what people are doing is that they're feeling all this stuff because God's turning stuff. He's turning and things are changing. And anytime you change people's normal, they get crazy because the foundation is not built upon Jesus. It's built upon stuff that's sinking and changing. And when that stuff changes, if you don't have a strong foundation, you're going to change with it. And all of a sudden you're chasing stuff. I don't know what I am today. I feel like a lion. I don't know what I am today. Maybe a cat. You don't have to change with the times. Stay with Jesus. Help them find their way. God, Dad, they're smoking weed in the bathroom. Help them find their way. There are certain things that we've allowed our kids to see just to show them stuff. You can't have your kids be oblivious to what's happening in the world. You can't. Most of the world, people in the world are not saved. So they're called to live in a world and be a light in darkness. You have to help them operate and be that light in darkness. So, but how can they operate if they don't know what the other side's like? And you trust the Holy Spirit enough to lead them, to show them. And if his influence is what it should be, they know better. There have been times for me, I said, yeah, I felt the Lord said, I got to stop that. Cool, he's working. But you walk with him. They don't get it right all the time. You don't get it right all the time. But Jesus still walks with you. He's helping you find your way. Helping you. But you got to give back up. You got to get back at it. Well, a lot of people, what do I do now? I got kids that are grown. You can still have a relationship with your kids that are grown. But you can't go back and work on that. I'm going to teach you now at 47. What it means to respect me. You would ask the Lord to help heal some stuff. You can't expect all of a sudden things to work out if you didn't sow. Like you weren't there during important times. And now you expect certain things, but it doesn't work that way. Because my relationship with the Lord now is first in priority, and I've learned to lean on him. And so that has to be worked out only by the Holy Spirit. That's on you. That's on me to work that out with him. But I can't go backwards in order to fix you. That's stuff you have to deal with. There are things that have happened in my life that God has shielded me from, but also helped forced dependency on him. At a young age, I knew that I was going to have to lean on Jesus if I was going to get through this stuff. There's no way I won't be able to figure it all out. And I just couldn't do it. And I could look back and saw that God was shielding and blocking. And look back like Moses when he was put in that river, nothing touched him. I could look back over my life and say, yeah, there was stuff that got in. But you know what? God was always there. Maybe who I was today, all the scars, all the beatings, all the stuff toughened me up so that I could serve a God and have a relationship with a God based upon truth, not serve a religion or a religious God, because God is not religious. And when we do, and when we make God religious, we take out the relationship part of him, and it's a stench to God. I'm not looking for you to worship me if your heart's not right. I want your heart. I don't pray to Mary. Love you, I just don't. Why? There's one mediator between God and man. His name is Jesus. Mary needed a savior. So do you. So I go to Jesus when I have issues. I'm going to go to you and ask for forgiveness. Why? You can't forgive me. Jesus. Let's all stand with you. How many of you know it took you a long time, but you finally found him? You finally found him. Not a religion, but a relationship with Jesus. Right. He knows the way that you're supposed to take. He knows the way. And through all the stuff that you're working through right now, in the end, goodness is going to come out of it. Because he always produces goodness out of it. Always, always, always. You're going to be better than you think when you come out of it. Better. Man, there's going to be more of a freedom and joy when you come out of it. Why? Because the Lord is just working stuff out, just unraveling things in you that have had you, and you're just becoming free. If the Bible says who the Son sets free is free indeed, that indeed is like a punctuation mark. Indeed. But it doesn't mean it's not going to take a little while to get to the indeed part. Because there's still some stuff that's holding on your leg. God wants to help you find your way. Lord, for every person in this room, everyone, maybe they've lost their way a little bit. Through some disappointment, through some heartache, maybe through some stuff that they set up some expectations that were not met. And they decided to turn because life just got hard. Lord, I pray today that you would just tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, I'm still here. I haven't left you. Lord, those that are seeking your perfect will, I pray that they would just say yes to what you're asking them to do. To take a step with you. Take a step. And as they take a step, you'll begin to light up the path. I thank you for a new level of trust in this house. As people get ready to come back from vacation, there'll be a new level of trust and anticipation of the good things that God is doing. The promotion that he's bringing. Promotions on jobs. Just changing seasons. Changing the perspective of people. Lord, everyone who said yes to you, give them the strength to continue to say yes. Even in the process when the enemy comes in to bring distraction, help them see past it and say yes. Even when it's foggy, help them to say yes. Even when they can't go on anymore, help them to say yes, because we know that your strength is made perfect in weakness. Lord, bless their efforts even this week. As people get back to consistency, they get back to routine, bless their efforts this week. As families get ready to go back to school, surround them with your grace. We pray for a prosperous year, change in our communities, change in our homes. Lord, that there will be an outpouring of your spirit like we have not seen. In Jesus' name. If we do want-